Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, we were in South Africa and we were thinking about you because if you go into a restaurant, not every restaurant, but a lot of the restaurants in South Africa, and you want to have fish and you want to know, well, should I be eating this fish? Is it being sold legally? Is it threatened? Is it endangered or whatever? And they've set up a lovely system there, the Worldwide Fund for Nature. It's called Fish MS. It's a texting service where if you want to have the fish of the day, you can text the name of the fish of the day to this number. And it will give you a green for go, an amber for be careful, and a red for don't touch it at all. Anyway, we'll talk more about it with you after this little report.
My name is Chris Kasten. I work for the Worldwide Fund for Nature in South Africa. One of the programs that WWF South Africa initiated was SASSI, the Southern African Sustainable Seafood Initiative. And basically what SASSI aims to do is empower consumers to make responsible environmental choices when it comes to seafood. To achieve that, we have developed a traffic light system and basically divided up the most common species on the South African market into either green list, orange list, or red list. So green list, good to go from sustainable, well-managed fisheries with relatively low impact on the environment, or orange list, where there is a degree of concern or an area of concern with the source fishery or the management thereof or the actual stock, and then red list, which one should avoid entirely, because in WWF's opinion, those come from unsustainable sources. So obviously, consumers need tangible ways to actually use this tool. So we started with the obvious ones, developed a website, there's a Mobi site. We then had some apps developed as well, so you can download it across all three platforms. There's a printed pocket guide, there are posters that we put up, but by far one of the most successful tools that we developed was what we call a Fish MS service.
Fish MS.
Yeah, correct. So, and essentially what it allows consumers to do is send a text message. So they send the name of the fish that they're looking to buy, and within a few seconds they'll get a response telling them it's on the green list, it's good to go, or it's on the orange, caution, think twice before buying it, or red, one should avoid it completely. And it's just soared. It started in 2008. Slowly gained in popularity, and the latest stats we got from our consumer survey was that we have over 200,000 individual users of the service, which is fantastic in the South African market here, and gives us a strong mandate to then work with the retailers on their sustainable seafood procurement policies.
So I'm in a restaurant and I see fish of the day, and I say, what fish is it? And they say, it's cod. And then I text to which number?
079-499-8795. It is a free service as well. So even if one has a bundle with free messages, they count towards that as well, which is why it's not a premium shortened number. But yeah, even though it's a long number, we've still found that people are
So would it be on the end of the menu? Would that information be at the bottom of the menu saying, if you have any doubts about the fish, you can just text Fish MS to find out if it's sustainable or not?
Yeah, so with the partner restaurants and retailers that we work with, we try and get them to incorporate the Fish MS number on as many of the materials as what they possibly can. We obviously don't have it on all the restaurant menus in South Africa. We'd love to. But we also have other initiatives, sort of awareness drives, to make people aware of the number. And the easiest way with a number like that is really just to store it on people's phone. Mm. So they can go to that as a contact, send the note. It probably wouldn't be cod, as you mentioned before. Probably be something like hake or kabeljau or snook or yellowtail, things which are common on our market here, and then they get a response straight away.
And is this something you're thinking of introducing worldwide?
I certainly think it could have relevance for markets beyond South Africa. It's been quite successful here. Yeah, difficult one to say, really. I think one would have to do a little bit of market research as to where you'd want to apply it. Certainly in Southern African region, I think it would be tremendously successful.
But you'd have to be able to identify the fish, wouldn't you? You'd have to know the name of the fish. You'd have to be sure they were telling you this is the fish they're selling you before this is going to work.
Absolutely. So two things about that. The SASSI initiative is confined to the South African market at the moment. So even if you wanted to roll out the service to other countries, one would first have to conduct all the species assessments for the seafood that's on that market to then underpin the message that comes back. And then secondly, one would have to rely on the integrity of the seafood vendor in giving you the right information. But in the South African market, at least, we find one of the biggest challenges is really integrating into supply chains or better understanding supply chains. So a lot of the times when the questions are asked, and we ask consumers in South Africa to ask three very simple things of their seafood. What is it? Where is it from? How is it caught? And quite often, the restaurants or the retailers where they buy don't have the answers to those three questions, which really prompts them to take the case a little bit further, and the retailers and the restaurants themselves to investigate their supply chains more to ensure that they do actually know where the seafood is coming from.
Surely the key to this is traceability.
Absolutely. So traceability ensures that that restaurants and retailers are able to adequately label their products so they can put the kind of information on the end seafood products that consumers are picking up, which helps them use tools like the SASSI Consumer Guide to make responsible choices. But that becomes very, very tricky for a consumer or a customer of any one of these establishments if the product isn't properly labeled in the first place. And I think some of the challenges that the restaurants and retailers have is traceability. So actually verifying that information and then being able to put it onto the products themselves. But what this tool has done is really has mobilized South African consumers to start asking more questions about the products that they're buying. And that gives WWF the mandate then to work with some of the larger retailers and larger restaurant chains to then address seafood sustainability in their operations, one of which being traceability and adequate labelling of their products.
You like this idea, Ken, I take it?
I do. I really think this is an excellent idea. There are all sorts of complications, but life is full of complications. And if we want to make excuses, we cannot not do stuff like this. I think that's a very good idea. I think there is a really solid demand out there, both in terms of fish and obviously other food produce. People really do want to know the sources of their food now. Unfortunately, in Europe, there are certain complications. One example might be the mackerel that we talked about earlier this week. In mackerel in Europe, you could have up to four different stocks of mackerel. At any time, some of those stocks of mackerel, depending on which location they're in, they may be in a situation where they're under severe pressure at one particular point in time. Then you may get a very good year, as we have in mackerel this year, mm-hmm. and suddenly the numbers go back up again. So the system has to be very lively. It has to be able to take account of that. So just being able to say, well, we're giving you mackerel on the menu, sir, and you text in mackerel, well, mackerel could mean a lot, as can cod. For example, the cod in the Irish Sea are still under severe pressure and under a stock rebuilding programme. You don't want to be eating
and clearly
cod.
Not there in South Africa.
That's right.
Yeah. So because when I mentioned cod, you said, well, you wouldn't say cod. Yeah, it's not threatened. It's hake or something else.
But everybody doesn't eat in restaurants. You know, some of us actually go to fish shops to buy fish. And if you ask in the fish shop, I mean, our fellow Philip Simon, he'll always tell you where the stuff comes from because he knows. And it may not be written on a sign in the supermarkets, but the people selling it, the fish, should be able to say where this comes from. Where does this cod come from? Where are these herrings from? Where is your ray coming from? And then you as the consumer then can decide, do you want to buy something that has flown in from somewhere else, like snapper and things, or is it farmed? A lot of the stuff we eat now is actually farmed. Or is it wild caught? Is it rod caught in the case of tuna? Is it caught in nets? Are your scallops hand dived or are they dredged up? I mean, even eating scallops, the way they're caught has a huge impact on the
sea
bottom.
Would your fishmonger know all of that, I know?
Yes, he would.
He would, yeah. This is about restaurants.
But you know, most...
No, I don't eat fish.
You don't eat fish at all, anyway.
Very rarely.
Well, even in a fish and chip shop, that's technically like...
I thought it was a nice idea. It's a lovely idea. Clever.
Well, I think
it's a great way of getting people interested.
It is, yeah. And I think that's what I'm saying, that I think these are the sort of things where you have to make a leap. Yes, they're complicated, but you have to really make a leap. And if there is a consumer demand, as I think there is for these sort of things, we should be looking to see how we can do this. We're very lucky in Ireland in that we have a really good food safety authority. So the traceability in relation to fish is quite amazing. And certainly through the links with the Marine Institute, we now have a situation where all of the fish that our people are eating, whether it's shellfish or whether it's finfish, they're being very well assessed. So if they're being assessed at that level, why can't we translate that into some sort of communication so that people are made aware as to the status of the stock and as to the suitability of the stock? I think it's a real challenge.
Well, the point he made to me was that people are now thinking about where the stock, where the food had come from, and they weren't before this.
Well, certainly the line caught...
Other than people like Aina and the fishmongers, but just the average Joe going in is now thinking about it.
Well, I know from personal feedback from being on the programme and so on, consistently over the last 5 years, I've been asked this. Consistently, you know, how do I know if this fish is sustainable? And if you look at the example, the best example I know is Cornwall and so on in the south of England, where you have this move away by fishermen themselves from commercial fishing with large amount of bycatch to a situation where they've started to market line-caught bass. And that line-caught bass has really caught on, no pun intended. And there are supermarket chains now in the south of England that are only stocking line-caught bass. And people know that by catching it on rod and line, most unlikely they're going to be putting those fish under pressure. Mm. And there's a premium. And people are paying that premium. That's a clear indication.
But you've got to be sure that's where it's come from. Because when I was in another restaurant up there, they had Norwegian salmon. Mm. And I said to the guys, that I had no intention of ordering it. Is it wild? And he said, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I remember flying over the fjords in Norway and all you could see were fish farms for miles and miles, salmon fish farms.
Having said that, that's the reason I was in Norway, really, because the Coal Arctic programme was to answer that question. There is a huge commercial fishery in Norway for wild salmon. a lot of the fish they're taking are Finnish salmon and also Russian salmon. So the Kalarctic program was to use some of the genetic techniques that were developed originally in Cork, indeed, to use those techniques to separate out the different stocks and to see what was sustainable in terms of a wild fish harvest in Norway.
But how could you prove it?
Well, certainly in the context of genetics.
Like when you're in a restaurant, how can you prove it? Well, you can't do a DNA test.
Well, that's why I was saying that in terms of the Food Safety Authority, the labelling, well, we do trust the labelling from the Food Safety Authority. So if you extend that particular protocol and that approach, there is no reason why we couldn't have a trustworthy system that would actually tell us exactly where the fish were from. And I think that's the way forward, because, I mean, even in Ireland, we have a small but sustainable commercial fishery for wild salmon. And that's done through a tagging system. And it's done through a traceability system whereby those tags are followed.
And the tags are actually on the fish in the shop. If you go into the fish shop to buy salmon at that time of year, the fisherman or the fishmonger will bring it out to you with the tag on it, showing you, look, this salmon was legally caught. It's wild salmon. You're paying, you know, a lot of money for a wild salmon, but here it is. I'm allowed to have this one on sale. It's not smuggled. It's not in any way, and I didn't put the tag in myself. So this is what you get in proper. That's why places that are family owned are, you know, they have responsibility to their customers rather than big chains who may not have the same.
Well, you can't say the big chains aren't doing it by the book either.
No, I'm not saying that they're not. But right. I mean, you're actually speaking to the person who's doing the buying. Mm. You're closer to the actual purchasers than, you know, would.
Well, the big stores will have buyers as well.
Well, yeah, but they won't be. They may not be behind the counter selling to the public. They will be, you know.
They might be.
So, Ken, this is a very complicated subject. And I remember you upset me with your remarks about mackerel, because years ago I asked a fishery expert. Maybe you were a good self for all I know. I don't know who it was.
No, certainly.
What fish can I eat without committing a dreadful ecological sin? Mm. You say, and they said, well, mackerel is the obvious one. Mackerel, you can eat your fill of mackerel. It will never do any harm. And now you come along and you blow that out of the water, telling me that there are populations of mackerel which can't be touched. Now, the one criterion that comes out of what you've been saying that holds amidst all this is that if a fish is caught on line, that's
okay,
fine.
Yeah.
Is that true necessarily?
It depends on the amount of lines. I mean, certainly in the context of tuna, there was a big, big fishery in the Mediterranean for tuna, which was a line caught fishery. And that certainly put the stocks under pressure. That's a very big creature. And relatively speaking, it wouldn't have anything like the same numbers.
It also incidentally slaughters umpteen albatrosses and southern giant petrels and things like this, because they dive in and catch the bait and are caught.
So I think at the end of the day, there's no panacea here. I think it needs to be carefully planned. But I do feel intuitively that if you're in a situation where somebody is fishing for a relatively small market with a specialist technique, there's much less of a chance that they're going to end up over-exploiting the resource.
Ken, thank you very much indeed. Stay with us if you would.